found in the book of the Bible, Genesis.
So we're going to look in Genesis, aren't we? Yeah, and we're actually going to look at a story that covers chapters 37 through to 46. It's quite big, and so we're not actually going to read all of it word for word. But I really want to encourage you to go and have a look at this story in your Bible later on. Genesis chapter 37. And to read the full story.
We're going to look at a slightly cut down version.
That's right, but I think it'd be good. Should we do it all together, do you think?
Yeah.
So you may come across this sort of thing before, but whenever we say a certain word, we're going to want you, invite you to respond with in a certain way. Okay, are you up for that this morning?
Yes.
Brilliant, okay. So we're looking at the story of Joseph, aren't we, by the way? Yeah, so we need to think of some words that kind of fit with Joseph. Or
hold on, you know Joseph is a musical.
Yes.
Well, why don't we make a response to something to sing?
What could possibly go wrong? It can't be that hard, can it?
Are you up for helping, Mark?
You're up for it. Okay. All right. So what about every time I say Joseph as I read it, how can we respond?
Oh, kid guy.
Poor Joseph, what you gonna do?
Every time I say Joseph. Okay. So what other words? What about?
And every time we say coach, we could go, it was red and yellow and green and brown and blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be a nice sound, really, didn't it? Okay. And every time we say dreams,
dreams, dreams, dreams, dreams, dreams.
Can it be? Yeah. Okay, so this is the story about a young man named Joseph.
Joseph, Joseph, what's he gonna do?
Not great, then you fall asleep.
No, no,
start
no.
With, is it, really?
I've got to listen.
I hope you've got a few hours. You may be here a while. Okay. His father's name is Jacob, and they lived in Canaan. He was 17, old enough to drive a car these days. And he had 11 brothers, and only had one brother younger than him. I don't know if you can imagine having 11 brothers. Can anyone imagine having 11 brothers? Just think, you 11 people to play with or fight with. Depending what kind of... Okay. All of Joseph's brothers...
Joseph, Joseph, what's he gonna do?
I've jumped as well, so I've got to after it. Anyway, because Joseph was...
Joseph, Joseph, what's he gonna do?
Was very special. Very special to his dad. His dad gave him a very amazing coat.
It was red and yellow and green and brown and blue.
It was a beautiful coat.
It was red and yellow and green and brown and blue.
And seemed to have every colour you could imagine on it. Now, all of Joseph's older brothers...
Joseph, Joseph, what you gonna do?
They saw this and they got very jealous. The word jealous means that his brothers disliked him because they thought his father liked him more, and because he got this special coat.
It now, was red and yellow and green and brown and blue.
One day Joseph...
Joseph, Joseph, what you gonna do?
He had a dream.
Dreams, 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 dreams.
He went to tell his brothers. He said, guess what? Last night I had a strange dream.
Dreams, 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 dreams.
With the tied up bunches of grain out in the field, when suddenly my bunch stood up while all of yours gathered round and bowed to me. The brothers looked at him and each other in disgust, but you didn't. Then I had another dream.
Dreams, 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 dreams.
That the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. What do you think you are, brothers said? Do you think you are better than us? Do you think you'd ever bow down to you? This made the brothers dislike Joseph even.
Joseph, Joseph, what you gonna do?
When he told his father about these things that had begun in his head, he said, they're very strange things that are going on in your head. But he thought carefully about what Joseph had told him.
Joseph, Joseph, what you gonna do?
And a few days later, his father asked him to check on his brothers. They were in the fields quite a distance away, so he went to find them. And when his brothers saw him in the distance, they made a plan to kill him. But when Reuben, the oldest brother, he heard this, he said, let's not kill him. Just throw him down a well out here in the field. He said this because he secretly, which, just as an aside, how is, I know he's still alive, but being thrown down a well, it's not that great, is it? I know I've pointed, but just, so secretly, he was going to come back and get him out and when all the other brothers had gone. So Joseph came...
Joseph, what you gonna do?
They took off his beautiful robe and they threw him in an empty well. A little while later, a group of people came, but they were wanting to sell some things in Egypt. One of the brothers spoke up. Why don't we sell them him to these people? This way, we never have to see him again. We don't have to kill him. The other brothers liked this idea. So they sold him to the people who were going to Egypt. Unfortunately, Reuben had been working and hadn't seen what had happened. When he returned to the well, he noticed that Joseph had gone.
Joseph, what you gonna do?
He'd been sold to an important man named Potiphar, an assistant to the Pharaoh of Egypt. So, Joseph starts his life.
Joseph, what you gonna do?
But the Lord was with him, and he helped him do everything. So Potiphar made him his helper and put him in charge of everything that he owned. The problem came when Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph to her husband.
Joseph, what you gonna do?
So Potiphar had him put in jail. The Lord was still with him in jail, and the warden put him in charge of all the prisoners. He never worried because God was with him and helped him do everything right. After Joseph had been
what you gonna do?
A cupbearer and baker to the Pharaoh had been sent there. One night, each of them had a dream.
Dreams.
They told them to get Joseph.
Joseph, what you gonna do?
He told the cupbearer that he would soon be let out of jail. Please tell Pharaoh about me and ask him to get me out of here, he said. When the cupbearer was free, he forgot all about the guy he met in jail. So he stayed in jail, that guy, for 2 more years. Until one day, Pharaoh had a dream.
Dreams.
And nobody could explain it. The cupbearer then remembered that guy in jail and what he'd done for him. And he was brought to Pharaoh. Can you understand dreams, Pharaoh?
Dreams.
Pharaoh asked, but I can't. But God helps me, Joseph replied.
Joseph, what are you going to do?
Pharaoh told him about this. God is warning you, there will be 7 years when nothing will grow and there won't be any food at all. What can I do, Pharaoh asked. God has shown me what to do. There will be 7 years before the bad years that will be very good. So God, that extra years will have extra food for everyone. So you should save a little bit of each year's harvest. That way, you still have enough to get through the bad years. That's the story of Joseph.
Joseph, dreams. Red and yellow and green and brown and blue.
What I mean is, many people can ask, you know, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about this,
and actually, I think we need to kind of, well, we had this bit on, don't we? We say, why do bad things happen to good people? When actually we should have a full stop there. Why do bad things happen? Because to some extent, we can ask the question, why do bad things happen to almost good people? Or why do bad things happen to not so good people? And so on and that sort of thing.
So, why do bad things happen?
Because we're not good people.
What?
Let me explain. We had our question at the start. Do you think your friends would say you are a good person? And it's a whole idea, really. Actually, what does it mean to be good? You know, what you think good might be slightly different to what I think. We then had our 7 scenarios, our 7 different situations on a bit of paper. And in a bit of a silly way, thinking through some of the bad things and kind of what's really bad and what's kind of more to us and that sort of thing. The thing is, there are horrible things that happen in the world. Things that go on and things that happen this week that are, well, they're just disgusting and awful. And there's no good in some of the actions of people and the things that they do. But part of that is because, well, we live in a messed up world. We live in a world that is not perfect, and it's not as it was meant to be, as it was created to be. Do you remember back in March, those who are with us at our gathering for all ages, we thought about how God created everything.
And it was good.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was so good. But that's not how it stayed. Because, well, humans, that's us and everyone, we choose to live our way instead of God's way. Now, because of Jesus, and the fact that he came to die on the cross, we can know God again. And if we come to him and we seek his forgiveness and we try and live a different way, not just repeating the same mistakes and doing the same things we've always done, he will forgive us and we can know him.
But what do we do when bad things happen, though?
And that's the key question that actually I think this morning we need to be thinking about. What do we do when bad things happen? Ultimately, we need to turn to God when bad things happen.
So like get cross at him?
No, not quite like get cross at God. Some people, they do. When bad things happen, they get angry at God. Like with a clenched fist, kind of, God, why have you let this happen? I think we need to turn to God when bad things happen, going, God, help me in this moment. Help me understand something of what has happened. Help me get through what I'm going through and what's happening. And help me to praise you no matter what.
That's just like Job in the Bible.
Yeah, Job. He was someone who, if you read the story of Job, he, you know, loses his family, his wealth, his health isn't looking too good either, and yet he still says, it says, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, may the name of the Lord be praised.
Thinking about Joseph too, God will save him even though bad things went wrong.
That's it, yeah.
Just because he knew God didn't mean his life was easy.
No, it didn't.
But he was with him through it all.
Through it all. And that's the truth that I think we need to remember and take away. The fact that God is near to the brokenhearted. Whatever we go through, whatever happens in life, whether we see things on the news, like this week in Manchester, stuff that's happened maybe seemingly a long way away, or in other countries, or maybe when things happen in our own lives or with those around us, it's actually remembering that God is there for us through it all. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but he'll be with us when it's not easy.
So how can we respond?
Well, we want to offer two different things, particularly. We're going to sing again in a moment. But as we're doing that, you may want to come forward, and on the table over here, there's this sheet of paper. And I don't know, you may just want to draw a tear to represent and to remind you of actually something that really makes you quite sad that has happened. Maybe something you've seen on the news. Maybe someone or something that's going on around you. But actually running again and saying, God, I want to trust in you through this situation. So even though bad stuff happens, even though this is something that has really upset me, maybe is still really tough, actually, I want to give it over to you. And we've also got some copies of the poem, Footprints in the Sand, which is a poem that someone wrote, which just reminds us, it's a way of reminding us, that God is with us, even at those times when actually the world may seemingly is falling apart around us, and we don't know how to cope, and we don't know what to do, and it doesn't make any sense. He'll be there no matter what. So I want to invite you, if you want to, you can come and write on the, draw on the sheet of paper, pick up a card. And if you'd like someone to pray with you and just stand with you, maybe something you're going through, then in the foyer, just behind you there, there'll be members of the prayer ministry team. And I want to invite you, if you just want to maybe say to someone, this is a situation that I really don't know what to do, they'll just pray that God's peace, strength and power will be at work in that and in you. I'm going to pray and then I hand over to Mark, who's going to lead us again. God, we want to thank you for the fact that even when really rubbish stuff happens, whether it happens at school, at work, with our friends, with our family, here in the church, maybe in a country far, far away that we can't really even pronounce the name of it, but we see things on the news or we hear about things that are just really horrible, that even when all those things are happening, you are there. And you are there for each one of us. I pray that you will help us to remember your truth of the fact that we can trust in you no matter what, however great or however awful our day may be. Amen.